All right, thank you, folks. Let's open our Bibles. I'm going to start off this morning with Ezekiel chapter 39. I'm not going to be trying to expound this very familiar passage, or should be, to Bible believers, because we're living in the days that looks like what some refer to as the World War III is about to break out. Details given about it in chapters 36 through 39. That's not my plan this morning. I want to take just a thought that I've been on a time or two and go a little bit with it this morning. I'll ask you to go to Ezekiel chapter 39. We'll take one verse to start with, and remembering the context that when this, what some call World War III, it breaks out, nuclear war, missiles exchanging, all the nations are on stage for it, and much of the discussion is going on about it now. But in the midst of these several chapters, there's a statement that keeps being made one way or another, and it reminds us of what we read many times in the Bible, a lot of it in the Old Testament, that has to do with God being jealous for his name. So what do you mean? I mean other gods trying to play like and pretend that they're God. And the Bible tells us, even when the Ten Commandments was given in Exodus chapter 20, you'll read down there around about verse 5, where God says he's a jealous God. And that first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So all the way through the Bible, you'll find a similar type of statements. I may point out one or two this morning. Kind of stirred me again this week, I believe it was this week, flashing through the channels. I'll tell you what I do, and you probably do this too, and they know you do it, so it don't help us much. They know you take the remote and try to turn off the commercial. They know that, so they have them all at the same time. So whichever channel you go to, you're still going to get a commercial. But I try to flip through about three or four different channels trying to catch more news. And in the time I've got, I want to see what all's going on. Brother Miller came to me this morning and said, you probably got up here too early to hear the news this morning, but they were talking about making some of the stewardess on American Airlines, when they flew into, what, Saudi Arabia? Iran, all right, Iran, about the same, all those places. But when they flew into Iran, they had to have on those Muslim things that the women have to wear to cover up themselves. That's so ridiculous, isn't it? Amen. And yet we give them $150 billion and made them a clear path to get a nuclear weapon, no matter what the Bible says. Well, anyway. That's a big fuss going on today. Did you know that? I mean, who is God? And Islam is a leading contender against it now, but all false religions, that's still the issue. Right. I don't matter whether it's the Buddhism or Shintoism or any of the other isms, it still has a lot to do about the name of God. God says he's jealous for his name. So the big war breaks out through these chapters that give us the detail. You keep hearing this statement above all others, then they'll know that I am God. And when it's over, they will know who is God. Amen. When this book finishes up with all of its predictions, they'll know who is God. No doubt about it. Look at it here in Ezekiel 29, Ezekiel 39, look at verse 25. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. Now you look at the King James Bible there. You got the capital letters there, Lord God. Now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob, that's Israel, and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. And God warns Israel about profaning his name. They get in trouble over profaning his name. They get in trouble over going after other gods. And if Israel got in trouble about going after other gods, why do we think America's going to get excused? We're not going to get excused either, I guarantee you. Anyway, I was flashing through the news, and one of the commercials was this Morgan Freeman, which is just a Hollywood actor. He does a lot of talkovers for, got a good voice, he does a lot of talkovers. And so he's going to have a special on TV, you probably saw it, and the title of it is, Who is God? You must see that. Several of you see that. All right, who is God? And one thing he said that's real honest from his heart, right in that little spot, just advertising the program it's going to be, he said all of his life he's been interested in God. And so it's a pertinent question, who is God? Well, now he's telling the truth. Man has born in his heart a desire to know God. So he is definitely telling the truth on it. Now, here's what I will predict on the program. They will take all these various people that believe in some kind of something they call God, and they'll want you and I to accept all of it and pretend it's all the same when it's not.
Amen.
And the Bible, God is very jealous over that very theme that's being pushed so hard in America right now. Forced to accept all the foreign gods, all the foreign religions, and make them on an equal basis with Christ and with Christianity. And of course, that's the push right now. That'll be the end result or the motive behind that program and others. Whereas the answer to the world's problems right now is to tell them who the real God is.
Amen.
And that's what's needed. Anyway, question about God's name. You remember when Moses is caught out there in the desert and sees the bush burning that will not be consumed, and he goes to it. So we call it the burning bush, where he's told to take off his shoes. He's on holy ground. And when he gets the command to God, from God to go into Egypt to Pharaoh and lead the Jews out, you remember what he said? Who am I going to say sent me? And all through the Bible, more than one time, you find the question about what's your name. And you remember what God told him, I am that I am. Even when you get to the New Testament and you're just reading fast through there, you read John 10 and so many other places, John 14, Jesus is talking, like in John 14 when he says, I am the way. I am. Don't miss the I am.
Amen.
The I am of the burning bush. That's who Jesus was. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And over and over and over, you'll pick up I am. Now, while we might miss it a lot today, the Jewish high priest didn't miss it. And when the charges was made that ultimately brought him to Pilate and had him crucified, it was that he makes himself God. And they didn't miss that part about I am. We miss it often today, but that's who Jesus was. He was God. He was God. Now, say, what do you mean? I thought God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were separate. Well, here's the thing. It's three in one.
Right.
And this is what causes a lot of people a lot of confusion. The New Testament, we learn about the Trinity. In the Old Testament, we can see it. If we are aware of it. Now, this causes the Jews some trouble because they don't believe even the coming Messiah who they're looking for and hoping for, and the Passover and everything else points to, and all the sacrifices. What we don't quite understand as Christians is that the Jewish religion expected him to not really be fully God, but be more manlike. That's why, and you've heard me preach on it, and I won't get off into it too much now, I have preached on the subject, the two messiahs, because the Jews had a problem. They knew in their scripture that the Messiah would come and rule as king and set up a kingdom, and that's what they wanted. And that's one of the reasons they rejected Jesus. He didn't set up his kingdom. He didn't put down Rome at his first coming. But they also read about the Messiah that he would be one to suffer. That's why they want to reject Isaiah chapter 53 so much, is because it pictures the suffering of the Messiah. So they want to say, well, that's picturing the whole nation of Israel. No, it's not. It's very clear that it's one man there. So a concept came up in Judaism. There must be two of them. One that would suffer, and so they called him the son of Joseph, that Messiah. And there would be one that would reign and bring in the kingdom, so they called him the son of David. Two men. You and I know all of that was in one man,
right,
in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they have had some puzzle over the scripture. See, when the Jews study their scripture, Old Testament that we've got, they study the law, and Hebrew language is so, it is so deep, it is so complicated, till they study just every little jot and tittle. They study every little tiny mark in Hebrew because of the significance of it. And so they run into a puzzle from time to time because they can't quite reconcile some of the truth they get from the deep study of the word. It don't quite fit the model, don't quite fit the plan that they have, because they're not seeing God as three in one like they should. They miss out on what we call the Trinity. Now, in Christianity, there's a lot of fuss about the Trinity. We have it in all the old confessions of faith and so forth, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We recognize that, and we get it, of course, from the New Testament. The New Testament talks about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, the Great Commission, when we go out, missions, go out, take the gospel to the world, we're told to baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, every now and then, you'll find even some church in America, well, we'll just baptize them in the name of the Lord. Okay, you can do that. The Lord is one, but why not just do it like the Bible says so plainly, and be a testimony for the Trinity every time somebody's baptized, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And not try to say, some of them say, well, I'll baptize in the name of Jesus only. Well, that's another foolishness there. But the Trinity is often challenged, and yet there's so many references to it and so many pictures, and many of those pictures show up in the Old Testament. There's a verse in the New Testament, and if you want to turn to it, go over to 1 John chapter 5. Get over toward the book of Revelation, pick up 1 John. And there's a big argument, especially with those that have what I call perverted or liberal Bibles. They want to take this verse out. And maybe even in your Scofield notes, you may have a reference to it. I don't know. You need to understand something. Scofield was a good guy. Scofield Bible is a good study Bible. But the notes were not inspired of God. Only the Bible. So it's his opinion. And sometime, like any man, he's wrong. And so you got to remember that. And here's a case, if his note, and I haven't read it in a long time, his notes, and I use a wide margin Cambridge, so I don't have the Scofield in front of me. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, capital W, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, if you want to know who the Word is, you go to John chapter 1 when it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who is that? That was Jesus. So here, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Lord God Jehovah, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. There's your Trinity. So that verse is under attack by the liberals, and trying to say it don't belong, and they find they have some old manuscripts here and there that left it out. But just remember this, they have no originals. And from long time ago, the translators of the King James put it in, and God has blessed it because it's a truth that needs to be there and is correct, and you can find just as many manuscripts for it as you could against it if you went back through the scraps of history. Remember that none of them that you would pick up would be the very original one. Now, the Trinity, God's relationship is a relationship of three. Now, here recently I read something about the Jews being puzzled over something in their Old Testament. I'll get you to look at it. There's some verses in the Old Testament that are really outstanding in Jewish liturgy or in their Jewish religion. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. You'll know this one as soon as you get there. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And this is, you hear this all the time in amongst the Jewish quotations. And it has a name for it. It's called the Shema. This is the famous Shema that is used. And it's in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Uh-oh, where's the Trinity in that? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now here's their puzzlement. Here's their puzzlement. Why don't it just say the Lord is one? Do you know what it says here in verse 4? Take your pen out and count them. God's name is in there three times. Let's count them. The Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters, giving God his full name. Our God, there's another name, is one Lord. So you got the word, Lord, God, and again, Lord. So his name is repeated three times. And this shows the Jews have a puzzle with this. They really do, because they say, well, why did he just say it one time? The truth is, the New Testament certainly reveals to us he is one in three, or three in one. And that comes to the Trinity. Now, they have Jewish books other than the Bible, just like any religion does. And much of religion is outside books. Even Christianity has outside books. Just remember, none of them replace the Bible or an equal authority with the Bible. But in the Jewish book of the Zohar, and this is, I can't get into that. Some of Judaism has a mystical side to it, and it's quite interesting. But the Jewish book of the Zohar, it's a very old book, says the word here in Hebrew for one should be meaning the united one. Now, that's in one of their own writings, and it's in favor of the three in one, where you have the three names here. And that is a puzzlement to them. That's a disturbance to them. But go with me while we're at it. From Deuteronomy, turn to your left and go to the very first verses in the Bible, Genesis. Genesis. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We should be able to quote that. It's very interesting. If you take that in Hebrew, it's got seven words, and God's right in the middle of it. But I'll move on down from that and show you something that's a puzzle to them. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. I get it. And God saw that it was good. And move on down with me. I'm looking, going just a little bit further. Where am I looking? Somebody help me here. I'm going down to the verse that I want, which is, nope, I got to find it. I didn't mark it there. It's pitiful. Y'all help me. 126, go to verse 26. No wonder I was way off. On the other page, flip over. Chapter 1, verse 26. And look for the Trinity in this verse. Here we go. Let us, that's more than one, isn't it? Make man in our, isn't that more than one? O-U-R, our. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. So what's he saying here? It's plural. God said, let us. That's God the Father. And God the Son and God the Holy Spirit making man in their likeness. Now, when we think about man made in the image of God, we understand man today is a fallen image, no doubt about it. But still, Even in that, in the image of God, what is man? He is a Trinity. He is body, soul, and spirit. He pictures the triune God even by the fact that they, the Godhead, made us in their image. And the Jewish puzzlement here to them is, why is it mentioned three times? Well, it's mentioned three times because God is a three-in-one, one-in-three relationship. Now, they say, well, why don't we just say the Lord is one? Uh-huh. He is one, but he's also three-in-one. Now, as Christians, we know our God is in three persons, manifested in three persons. And this verse here tells us that, plural, our likeness. Now, go with me to Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll pick up how consistent the Bible is in this truth. And again, it is a puzzlement over and over to the Jews when they run across a portion like right here in Isaiah chapter 6, and we'll turn to about, I'll get it in a minute. Seems like I'm having trouble with my pages this morning. Chapter 6, look at verse 3, I'm thinking. I don't want you to see. Yeah, verse 3. Now, Isaiah has given us a heavenly picture here. He's up there with the seraphims, the six wings, and so forth. And you get down where they're praising the Lord. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy. How many times? Three times. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord, capital letters in the word Lord, meaning the full name of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now the Jews, by meticulously studying their language in the Hebrew, they say, why don't you just say holy one time? It says it three times. It's consistent with the truth that God is triune, that he's three in one. And this becomes a puzzlement to them as they begin to see this. And you can go all the way through the Bible and see this. Now, somebody says, how can you have one in three or three in one? Well, let me ask you this. How about thinking with me mathematically a minute? One times one times one equals one. Yeah, it works. It's the way you see that God is patterned so very much. And there are those, and certainly not myself, I did all right in math in school, and I know it's changed, and I resent a lot of the changes. But, and by the way, it don't change the truth, it just confuses it. Right. It's about what it really does with the modern thing today. But, and you'd be surprised how many of our generation can't do math unless they got some buttons to push. You ever notice that? I remember when the computer thing began to take over in the stores a number of years ago so bad. Just aggravated me. Used to be a Scottish store right here on the corner. Anybody remember that? Right here on the corner? I would go in there to buy stuff for the church. And I went in there one time and to just get a small item. It wasn't probably a dollar and a half item. And I got up to the counter and not the cash register, because that'd be old-fashioned. The computer messed the girl up. And she was just, I stood there and stood there. Several others were standing there. And I said, look, let me give you the money. I'll try to get it just right where you won't have to give me any change. Do you know what I finally did? I finally put the item back and left. She couldn't do it because the computer was down. Now, I've seen that thing happened a number of times, and if you really want to confuse them, see if they'd make change the old-fashioned way. It's amazing. But those that are in deeper math than I'll ever go, and it is possible, some of the greatest mathematicians that's ever lived say that mathematics is a language, in a sense. And of course, they use it in our space shots and all of the modern stuff today. But they say if you carry it far enough, those few that have been able to do it, that mathematically you can prove the very existence of God in those formulas. Now, I certainly couldn't get very far, but there's so many mysteries even about mathematics that where'd it come from? There's a lot of things. Where'd it come from? There's even a mystery. There's a lot of ones won't take credit for the alphabet, but they haven't really proven where it come from exactly yet either in different languages. So God and the space program definitely speaks a mathematical language. They have to figure things out, and sometimes they get it wrong. I stood right outside this door right here a number of years ago because they shot the space shuttle up. And we here in Florida, we've seen it go up on a clear day many, many times. And so they shot it about mid-morning. It wasn't really mid-morning, fairly early, but not real early. And some of us, secretary was out there, and some others, we were watching, some of the kids watching the space shuttle go up, and it exploded, you remember? And it killed the folks. It was a, killed the astronauts. It was a cool morning for Florida. It was a morning when frost was in some places early. And there was an engineer in that group that got that rocket ready to shoot that space shuttle up. And the afternoon and night before, he begged them not to shoot it. He asked them not to shoot it. He argued with them. It would not be safe because the temperature was going to be cooler than it ought to be that morning. And mathematically, he said it was not going to be quite right and that the O-rings in the rocket were not going to function properly because the temperature was not going to be high enough. Now, they kind of kept his warning quiet. You can hear a little more about it today. He didn't hear much about it at the time, but that's exactly what happened. He was right. Things were not mathematically right. The temperature was too low, and so forth. And mathematics speaks a language. And proof of God in mathematics, many talk about that. But you can see it in everything. You can see it in the creation of God. You can see it in plant and animal life, even. I can't open that can of worms too much here on my time, but it is an amazing thing how that things have to fit together. I sat on the airplane one time, and I was on the way to Dallas, Texas, and an engineer from the Cape over here was sitting beside of me. They flew him back and forth to California. He was that important. That was his trip to work, stay a week, go back home. He was a Christian, really, really knew his Bible, and we talked. And he said, if it wasn't for the laws that God has already established, we couldn't do the work we do over the Cape. He said, we have to mathematically have things right. We got to know where the heavenly bodies not only are now, but where they will be. And so all of that into a big picture shows the very hand of God in creation and in sustaining creation. Anyway, who is God? The challenge today is coming more in the news over and over. And programs like I mentioned and others are wanting you and I to compromise the name of God. And we're not going to do that as Christians. But Christians have been martyrs in the past because of that. And it looks like it's coming that way again if the Lord Jesus don't come and come real soon. It's going to be the end time battle over the name of God. And that's why it is reflected here in the portion in Ezekiel that I turn to. God's name, the Trinity, reflected in creation. Three parts to oxygen, three parts to water. So many three parts. You see the stamp of God's triune being on his very creation.